Hallelujah. Arise, O Lord. Arise in our praise, worship, and adoration. Arise, let all of your enemies be scattered. Arise and let sickness and diseases be eradicated from the lives of your people. Arise, O God, and let the stronghold of poverty, fear, shame, doubt, confusion be eradicated. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord, O God, that even as you arise, every enemy is brought subject to the authority of your everlasting name. Father, we come to you today, worshiping, adoring, and blessing your glorious name. Thank you, Father, O God, that you are God in our lives, that we are so honored and privileged, O God, to speak your name, to think the thoughts of God, higher thoughts, because, Father, you've drawn us closer to yourself. You've given to us the mind of Christ, the mind that chooses to serve those sons. We give you praise for the privilege of being part of the family of the Most High God. Let your kingdom come and your will on earth be done as it is in heaven. Mold us into you, the fullness of your image, that we may be bearers of the fullness of God bodily. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Welcome to the house of the Lord this evening. Today we start a new book. The book of Colossians was written sometime around AD 57, and some dated as far as AD 62. But it's a very similar book to the book of Ephesians. Actually, it was written shortly after the book of Ephesians. And it has a lot of things to say to us doctrinally, and a lot of things to say to us that are very practical, certain things that we need to apply in our lives, to how we live life. It gives us an understanding of what God has already accomplished for us. There are two problems that face us as believers. I believe the first one is the most impactful of them. It is that we know things but don't do it. We are hearers of the word but not doers. That is a great stronghold. You ask the average believer on what the right thing is, and they will spew it out to you. But when it comes to practicalizing it, living it out, it's a different story. We know that we are not supposed to be angry and sin not, but we blow it up. We know that we are supposed to be loving, caring, and kind, but sometimes we don't act that way. You've heard me say it before, sometimes I think that the meanest people I've met, I met at church. And you might think that's a stretch, but it's the truth. Wicked because, mean because, they know what the right thing to do is, and they do otherwise. And you don't expect it from them. You expect it from the world, but not from people in the house. The second thing is that we don't know who we are. We don't know who we are, what God has done for us, what position we take as people positioned in Christ. And so we lose the impact of our effectiveness as people in our personal lives and in our outreach to the world. And those two things create a great challenge for us. It limits us greatly. Knowing what the truth is and not doing it, and not knowing who we are, and therefore not able to live out the life that Christ has ordained for us. I believe in the book of Colossians that Paul tries to address those things, because there were teachings that were coming into the church that were very contrary to what the Word of God is. The word Colossians or Colossae is an interesting word for a name for a city, because it simply means monstrosity. Monstrosity, huge, big mess. That was one of the reasons that Caesar was cut down, because he had a Colossae for himself, a big image. Well, we need to have these images cut down, these idols that we have. Our prayer needs to be, God, help me to live out the Christ life. Every one of us. Because it is the life that we need to live to really become the bride of Christ. Now in Colossians chapter 1, Paul starts as this Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ. I am an apostle of Jesus Christ. An apostle is one who's been delegated to represent Christ. He's one who, in the original meaning of being an apostle, is one who had seen the Lord and worked with him. Those were the original apostles. Today, the word is much broader, and in some sense has been abused, because every Dick and Harry, calls themselves an apostle. I'm an apostle. Well, an apostle is one. It's like the thumb in the fivefold ministry. An apostle is a prophet. An apostle is an evangelist. An apostle is a teacher. An apostle is a pastor. He carries the fivefold in himself and ministers from that strength. He may not have a church, but he pastors. He may not have a prophetic ministry, but he will speak prophetically, not just individual words, but he addresses situations prophetically in understanding the environment that he's in. And sometimes he's reading ahead of time what is coming up. He's an evangelist because he's there to blow things up. He's a teacher because he's there to build up and to teach people by example. He's a pastor because he's nourishing and caring and embraces. So he carries all of that. And so Paul says, I'm an apostle. I represent Christ. And I'm so by the will of God. By the will of God. God speaks it into your life. Many years ago, my spiritual father, he's alive. He's gone home to be with the Lord, but he's still alive. You know, believers don't really die. Anyway, I remember one day, he was addressing me and he says, Apostle. I knew he doesn't throw words anyhow. So I said, oh, wow, interesting. I guess I graduated to another level. Apostle. Kept on calling me an apostle. I said, oh, yeah, I take that. I receive it. Then shortly after that, a ministry that of leaders, it's called 7,000 and more. You know, they have ministers all around the world, are part of this fold. And the lead apostle says, we feel called that God is saying that you are an apostle and we want to anoint you as that. And they came, you remember this, they came and they anointed me as an apostle, confirming what my spiritual father had said. And that's how I became one. I didn't choose it. God chose it. It was by the will of God and has been confirmed many times. He says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. I'm an apostle because God wills it. When God calls me apostle. You're my apostle and you have an assignment. When you give yourself titles, you must understand that new levels attract new devils. And the worst thing you can do for yourself is give yourself a title. Not when God hasn't. Not when it has not been confirmed from above. He says, I'm an apostle. And then he says, and Timotheus, our brother. He calls Timothy a brother. He doesn't call Timothy an apostle. Timothy may become an apostle, but he calls him a brother. We're writing this. I'm working with Timothy to bring this word to you. And so he says, to the saints, writing to the saints. Saints are those that have been sanctified unto God. The word is the word hagios, and it is related to people that are sacred. They are people that are living a moral, blameless life. Or you might say, holy people. To the holy. To the blameless. Interesting. And faithful brethren. Faithful. I'm writing to the faithful brethren. In Christ, which are at Colossae. Grace be unto you, he says. The charis of God. The enablement, the energized enablement of God. Be unto you and peace. The word is Irene. That's a word that we, you know, the name Irene comes from. Irene is the same thing as peace. The word for grace is charis. When we talk about a charismatic person or the charismatic giftings of God, we're talking about grace. When you have, you know, we used to have what we call the charismatic movement. And the charismatic movement was a movement that believed in the power and the giftings of the Holy Spirit. You know, so when you talked about charis, you're talking about grace gifts. It's doing something that you are not able to do in your own strength and ability. He says, grace, this ability, and peace, Irene. In the Hebrew, it is the word shalom, which means nothing is missing, nothing is broken. It means prosperity, good success. It means to be enlarged. It says, let this peace from God, this peace, this Irene, it comes from God, who is our Father. Where is this statement, our Father, all about? This is a statement that the Lord Jesus Christ made when he rose again from the dead. He said, my Father, your Father, my God, and your God. In other words, it's a statement that says you are part of the family of God already. So I'm writing to people who are part of the family of God, who are enabled, equipped, who are operating from a position of nothing is missing, nothing is broken in their lives, everything is in order. I'm writing to you. Now, this is where the issue is, that God is saying to us that nothing is missing, nothing is broken in our lives. But we are not living like that, like nothing is missing, nothing is broken. But really, where God really wants you and I to be is that place where we recognize nothing is missing in my life and nothing is broken in my life. Everything is in proper order because God has separated me. I'm a saint. Separated me unto himself. I am holy. And therefore, because I'm separated, I am part of the family of God. And the devil cannot touch me. That is something that needs to be burnt deep in our psyche. How does that become a reality for us? By bringing to death anything that says otherwise, by resisting every lie that states otherwise, by subduing and subjecting every circumstance, by saying no to it and saying, you are trying to say something is missing in my life, but nothing is missing in my life. I am not broke. I am righteous, and the house of the righteous is wealth and riches. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You say I'm weak? Well, praise the Lord. The weak are called to say, I am strong, so I say, I am strong. The poor, I say, I am rich. I'm resisting the lie of the enemy. But the problem many times is when we have a situation, we go about confirming the situation with our own mouths. That's our greatest problem. My people perish. Notice he says, my people perish. It's not that we are not God's people, it's that we are not knowledgeable. And Paul is going to talk to us about that in just a moment in this book. Epignosis, that ability to know, that you know, that you know, that you know. I don't believe my circumstance, I believe the Word of God. I do not buy into this sickness. I buy into the reality that God is not just my healer. John says, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, hugiano, even as your soul prospers. So according to this prosperity of my soul, my health and my wealth is established. Now, that's not something that just happens. It is something that I have to drive home every day. I need to meditate on the Word of God. Meditating on the Word of God. The problem is that we get into a problem, that's when we want to find scriptures so much. When you're ready in the hot soup, it is hard to believe. When everything in your body is breaking down, it is hard to believe then. They say prevention is better than what? Cure. So everything that we do becomes a prevention to that which the enemy wants to bring about. So I don't get sick and then that's when I want healing. I'd rather have health and not be sick. That makes sense? And that happens by how we're carrying ourselves daily, by recognizing the fact that there is grace already released to us. There is peace already released to us from God, my God and your God, and our Father, God who is our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 3 goes on and says, we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Praying always for you. We're praying always for you. We're talking to God. Always. When we pray for the brethren, praying for you. I remember many years ago, my spiritual father used to say, I pray for you all every day. I said, well, what do you mean you pray for all of us every day? You mean you mention my name and you mention that person's name? And how can you remember everybody's name to pray for everybody? And I stopped and I said, wait a minute. Okay, how does he do that? He prays for everybody when he prays for his partners. He says, God, I present to you my partners. I thank you for my partners, those that are working with me, supporting me in the work of... Oh, I say, oh, that's the way. Once he says, partners, he's praying for all of us. Paul says, brethren. Pray for you, brethren. I pray for the brothers. That includes the sisters. Hallelujah. Praying always for you. Talking to God. Prosekumaya. That's that word, praying. Prosekumaya. What does it really mean? Praying. As far as God is concerned, prosekumaya, or mahi, better pronounced, is about speaking prophetic declarations. So what is that? It means declaring blessings. Father, I thank you for the health of your people, my fellow co-laborers. I thank you for the wealth, resources that are pouring into the household of faith, that your people are encouraged, they are established, they are visionary, they are doing the work of the ministry, serving you, worshiping you in spirit and in truth. In none of that have I talked about any problem. What I talked about is speaking prophetically answers. And praying is about speaking answers, saying what God will say. So he gives thanks. He's not thanking God for the sickness, he's thanking God for the health. He's not thanking God for the poverty, he's thanking God for the prosperity of his people, that their needs have been met according to the riches of the Father in heaven. So I keep on giving thanks for you. Since we heard of your faith, since when I heard about your faith in Christ Jesus, I've been giving thanks for you, and of the love which you have to all the saints. This is special. This is a church that loved the saints. They loved the people of God. From the way the man of God is speaking, you will see that he then birthed this particular church. If he birthed it, he won't be talking about what he heard. But this is a church that he has fallen in love with, because there are people who are serving in this particular place and giving to them the right kind of food. But the interesting thing in life is, when you have truth being declared, there's always an enemy that wants to come in there to pollute it. And so we're going to see Paul beginning to address in just a moment issues that he sees. He says, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus, and of the love which ye have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you, there's a hope that's laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. You heard the truth of the gospel, and that built up hope inside of you, that's caused you to stay strong, which has come unto you, this gospel of the truth, which has come unto you as it is in all the world, this gospel of truth, it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit. This gospel of truth is causing fruit to be born, as it doth also in you. It is working in other people, And I hear it's also working in you. Since the day ye heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth. You knew the grace of God in truth. And because you knew the grace of God in truth, you are fruitful just like it is in other places. Because God is not partial. God is not a partial God. Now, the way we define fruitfulness may be different. Some people may define fruitfulness as in numbers of people. Some people may define fruitfulness in terms of the finances they have. Some people may define fruitfulness by the amount of property they have, resources they have. Some people may define fruitfulness by very spiritual stuff, you know. Oh, we're fruitful in our prayer life. Things are happening in our prayer life. We're doing this and we're doing that. Fruitfulness is something that you cannot lock up and limit in any particular way. Because ultimately, fruitfulness is about accomplishing whatever it is God is calling you to accomplish at a particular time. And fruitfulness happens in seasons. There's a season for setting plants to show their fruit, and they show up at different times. So you cannot say to an orange tree, you're not fruitful, when the tomato plant is fruitful, and the orange tree has no fruit on it. Doesn't mean that it's unfruitful. It just means that in its season, it will be. But what everybody must have is the grace of God in truth. The grace of God, the enablement, the presence of God is active in that life. And at the fullness of time, there will be a manifestation. Now, he begins to unfold and tell us some of the key factors. Definitely, he wasn't there, but he says, as he also learned of Epaphras. Epaphras means lovely, our dear fellow servant. Ah, so it's Epaphras who was there. Who is for you a faithful minister of Christ? I wasn't there, but a fellow servant who is faithful in Christ Jesus has been working with you and has been giving you the right stuff. Epaphras. Lovely. Carried love to these people in Colossae. He's been ministering to them, demonstrating the faithfulness of God. He says in verse 8, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. He's been telling us about you. He's been telling us about what's happening with you and how you love. I'm excited to know this. Epaphras was the one who took the letters, I believe, to the Ephesians, and I believe also to the Philippians. This was a faithful man. He took the word of God to the people of God. He was not a big name, But he was a faithful name. Too many times people just want a name. They want a title. They want this, they want that, they want this, they want that. And when you just want stuff, you lose the ability to truly be true. You'll compromise because you want people to like you. That was not Epaphras. Paul says, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ. He's for you. This is somebody God assigned to you, Church of Colossae. And he's a faithful minister of Christ. And he's also told us about your love in the Spirit. For this cause, verse 9, also since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge, the epignosis, the knowledge of his will. We want you to be filled with the knowledge of his will. Whose will? The will of God. We want you to be filled. This is the prayer he's praying. We're praying that you be filled with the knowledge. Wow. Of his will. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in the earth as it is in heaven. What is that? Jesus, our Lord, said, I do nothing except what I see the Father doing. This is a challenge. Because if you came to me and you said, Pastor, pray for me. I have this situation, this problem. The chances are I'm going to start praying whatever it is I want to pray. But how much of that is the will of God? If you came to me and I said, okay, I'm going to pray for you. Father, reveal to me your will that I may declare it in Jesus' name. And I say, I've not heard anything from God yet. Go. You say, what is that? Why are you praying like that? Pray something. I want to hear something. Prophesy something. But if God has not said anything, whatever it is that I say is wishful thinking. I'm wishing something. And there's nothing wrong with wishing something. It's that I'm praying what I want. I'm declaring what I want. And there's a place where God honors that. There's no doubt about that. There's a place where God honors that and says, okay, if that's what you will, I'll do it. But the greater and unfailing declaration is when I have an insight from above. That one will not fail. There's no ifs or buts about it because you heard and you repeated what God said. This is what I hear God saying, and you say what God is saying. That is you, what you know as the will of God. So he's praying here. He's saying to them, I desire that ye might be filled with the very epignosis, the very specific will of God. I need that. You need that. We all need it. Because too many times we have a knee-jerk reaction to things. It's just knee-jerk. And with knee-jerk reactions, we have hit and misses. Sometimes you hit the ball, sometimes it's a strike, and you swung and missed, hit and miss. But I believe God wants us to come to a place where we're 100%, because we know that we know that we know. This is what God is saying. And that's the prayer he's praying. And that's the prayer that we need to pray for each other. Lord, fill us with the knowledge of your will. Fill us with the knowledge of your will. I want to know what you are doing. In all wisdom, Sophia. Sophia. And spiritual understanding. Spiritual understanding. Synergy. Putting things together. Lining up things. I want to know. I want to know. I want to know. I want to know what your will is. I want to be wise with that information and put things together to the glory of God. Now, that is interesting. Because this aspect is about how God can be saying many things about the same thing. Let me explain what that means. This is a chair. Oh, let me use something imaginary. An elephant, a lion, a leopard, cheetah. And you're looking at the face of this animal, and you start talking about the face of this animal. You're describing the elephant. You're talking about the trunk. You're talking about the wide ears, and you're talking about the little dingy eyes, and so on and so forth. And you talk about two legs. And somebody's praying from the side. And all he sees is the side of this animal. There may be some commonalities, but this time this person is talking about a wide side. You didn't see the wide side from the front. He talks about a trunk. He talks about one ear. Talks about a tail. And say, are you describing the same animal? And then somebody else is talking from the back and talks about this short tail and two legs. Where's the trunk? Where's the ear? Where's the whatever? He's not mentioning that. Now, we've got to understand that sometimes prayer is like that. Sometimes prayer is like that. You can have 3-4 people praying about the same issue, and they'll be talking about 3-4 different things, and they are all speaking according to the will of God. There's no contradiction in God, but in the natural, it seems like there's a contradiction. They're praying, and somebody's praying about rain, and somebody's praying about famine, and somebody's praying about, you know, drought, and somebody's talking about sunshine, and somebody's talking about floods, and say, what are you guys talking about? Are we talking about the same year? And all things can be about the same one issue, that you're trying to address. But they may be praying all kinds of stuff. And that's where the statement about knowledge, wisdom, and spiritual understanding comes into play. Having a spiritual sense of what's going on. What's going on in the realm of the spirit? Because what's going on in the realm of the spirit is all kinds of things. Let me put it another way. You're talking about a building, and there are different trades that operate in that building. There's some people who are taking care of the plumbing, some taking care of the air conditioning, whether it be AC or heating. Some people are talking about electricity, and some people are talking about furniture. Some people are talking about carpentry. And when you have spiritual understanding, you understand that the guy who's talking about carpentry is still talking about the building. The person who's talking about electricity is still talking about the building. They are all composites. So also are the gifts of the Spirit. They are all different. In fact, with the same gift, there are diversities of gifts. There are different ranges of one gift. There are some people that have a healing gift, and if you bring any deaf person around them, every single deaf person is going to get healed. You bring a blind person to them, they will go home blind. They came blind, they leave blind. The deaf will come, hear, and go. So, hey, isn't it the same anointing? No, there's a diversity. The one thing that I'm trained to do, gifted to do, is deal with this particular area. You go to the hospital, and there are people that are specialize in different things. Not everybody has everything, but when we have spiritual understanding, we link together to understand that I may not have everything, but I have something, you've got something, you've got something, you've got something, you've got something, that person has something, that person has something, and on, and together we become the body. That makes sense? I have fingers, but my fingers are not my toes. If I transplant my toes to my fingers, I will look funny. Giftings are like that. It says, I'm praying that you be filled with the knowledge of His will. I want you to know the will of God. I want you to have wisdom, Sophia, and I want you to have synesis. Understanding. Have understanding. The ability to put things together. Have a grasp of all that is happening and making sense of it. This particular grace is one that works with somebody who is a master administrator. A good listener that pulls all kinds of information together and makes sense of it. They're good at collecting data and understanding it, interpreting it. That's understanding. In having this knowledge, I'll wrap up with verse 10. In having this knowledge, having the wisdom, having the understanding, he says, that ye might walk worthy, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. Now, unto all pleasing, what's that? That is the walk of faith, for without faith it is impossible to please God. When wisdom, knowledge, and understanding are operating, you are operating in faith. And being, present tense continuous, fruitful in every good work. in every action that you take, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Now, that's interesting. And increasing in the knowledge of God. And increasing. But Paul, you said you're praying that we have knowledge, wisdom, understanding. What is this? An increasing in the knowledge of God. How is that possible? One level of knowledge is having an understanding of how things work, having information. But what Paul is talking about here at this level is, I don't just want you to know about God, I want you to know God. I know about the Queen. I know about the Prime Minister of Canada, but I don't know the Prime Minister. I don't know the Queen. I know about them. And knowing about is good information, because knowing about means that I can learn things about some level of protocol on how I address the Queen or the King or the Prime Minister or the President. You know about and you know how to carry yourself. But there's another level of knowing, which is a deeper level of intimacy that is beyond what is generally available. So I don't want you to just know about, I want you to know what. I know about calculus. I know about physics. I know about chemistry. I know about different things. But the reality is that I don't really know. I know about biology, let me put it that way. I went through class and it told me about different parts and the stomach and the liver and the eyes and the whatever. But the whatever information I knew will not make me a doctor. That makes sense? Okay, to be a doctor, you have to know more than that. Now, if I'm a general practitioner, I will know more than the person who studied biology, and I'll know more details, but I still don't know as the specialist does. Who knows more about that kidney? Knows more about those lungs? I do know about the skeletal system, the circulatory system. I know about arteries and veins, but do you know there are more details than that? That's what he's saying. That we don't get satisfied with whatever information we think we know. That there is more. That makes sense? There's more. Stop being satisfied, I heard the gospel, I'm saved, praise the Lord, I'm going to heaven. There's more to it. And so he tells us in Philippians, he says, I've not yet apprehended. That is towards the end of his life. He said, I still haven't gotten there. I'm still running after this. I'm not there yet. But finally he arrived and tells us in Timothy, he says, I have finished my course. I've run the race. I've done it all. I am perfected. I'm not yet perfect in Philippians. By the time he dies, he says, I got it. I finally got it. And so he's saying to us, increase in the knowledge of God. Because in the increasing of the knowledge of God, that's where the difference is going to be made between you being the bride of Christ or just a participant at the wedding. Many are called, few are chosen. You want to be part of the chosen? You got to come to the increase in the knowledge of God. I believe this is going to be very helpful to us all as we continue with the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the privilege that you've granted us in you. Lord, we receive the great impartation of knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. Your word teaches us, oh God, that this is how the house is founded, built, and furnished. We thank you, Lord, for the grace that brings us to the place, oh God, where we are increased in knowledge, even in the knowledge of who our God is. Let the prayer of Paul be answered in us. Let this prayer be manifested in our lives. Let this prayer be fulfilled in us. We receive this grace, this empowerment, as ones that have been set aside, set apart, just for you, for the Master's use. Blessed Father, be your holy name forever. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen and amen. We give God praise for the privilege once again to share the word of God. May God empower us all to live life fulfilled. May our lives be a testimony of his goodness. At this time, we will honor God with our giving. If you've not done so yet, this is perfect time for you to do so. Release that offering, that which God has given to you, that which God has spoken to you to do. Do efficiently and gloriously. And may he, the God who blesses, bless us all. May we grow in his fullness. May he multiply our seed sown. We banish everything that is contrary to God's will and God's word. We are the righteous, gifted of God. And in our house, in our lives, our wealth, riches, and divine health. In Jesus' name, we declare it so. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Well, bless you. Enjoy the fullness of God and look forward to seeing you on Friday for another powerful time together in the Word of the Lord. On Sunday, Sunday service is going to be different. It's going to be powerful. And that would be a great surprise for every one of us. So do pray for the Sunday service and how God is going to deal with us and speak to us and challenge us and help us fulfill his divine mandate. One of my spiritual sons is going to be joining me for that service. And it's going to be a powerful time. You don't want to miss it. Blessings. Love you. Increase in the knowledge of God. Amen.